I'm the guy.
You are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
All I'm doing is holla, holla, hollin' for the dollar, dollar, dollar.
June the 21st, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And welcome back to the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 136. And I want to welcome you back to the big show. And today I'm also welcoming back my tag team partners. First up, my longtime tag team partner, the one and only, the Frankster. Frank D.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, we got a loaded show today and a lot of topics to cover.
Definitely. But to get the other part of this triple threat, we got to go down south, my man. So introducing once again, he is the former general manager of SmackDown and ECW. He's managed such great tag teams as Doom and the Skyscrapers. The one, the only, the originator of the White Boy Challenge himself. Mr. Theodore R. Long. What's going on, player?
What's going on with you, player? Holla, holla, holla at Steve Areno and the Prankster. We are ready to roll, players.
Absolutely. And if you enjoy today's podcast, definitely spread the word on social media at Gerwick and also at Gerwick Report. Definitely check us out on Facebook and Instagram. And also want to plug ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. So definitely check it out. And Frank, every time I keep checking the YouTube channel, more and more subscribers.
Yeah, man, people are definitely digging YouTube.com/GerwickNet, and they are checking out our content, liking our content, subscribing to the channel. Obviously, they're spreading the word about our YouTube channel, so thank you very much for doing that. A lot of hard work goes into producing that content, so I'm grateful that people are actually checking out our channel and subscribing to our channel, Steve, and it's only going to get bigger and better from here on. So check it out today, YouTube.com/GerwickNet.
And as always, if you enjoy this podcast and want to check out previous editions of the GRP, we're on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio, and of course, go to the Gerwick.net audio archives for all the previous editions, interviews, Body Slam podcast, the Breaking Raw shows. Got a lot of content up there for you to listen to. It's free. We don't charge a premium content. So definitely check it out at Gerwick.net. One thing I did check out over the weekend was what Father's Day Sunday night. It was the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And Frank, I actually did it. I plunked down my $9.99.
Give me a hell yeah!
And I ordered the network. I was back on. And during the day, I took your encouragement and checked out the Teddy Long White Boy Challenges.
You feel me?
Here we go again.
Now, the only way that we could get back on Raw is I had to issue the Theodore Long 5-Minute White Boy Challenge. You feel me?
White Boy Challenge?
What that means is that every week, Rodney Mack will beat any white boy that the man sends out here in 5 minutes or less. Believe that.
During the day, and then at 7 o'clock my time, I turned on Money in the Bank, and then it kind of went downhill from there, Frank. I think overall I should have just stayed watching the white boy challenges.
You feel me?
You know, Steve, I usually come up here and I'll say that the shows were worth my $9.99. This one, I got mixed feelings about it. They built it as the biggest Money in the Bank pay-per-view of all time. And you know what? I really don't think it was that at all. I think the show was built around pretty much three matches. And that was the ladder match, the match between John Cena and AJ Styles, and the championship match. You know, I've already reviewed it with Allie Green. You can check it out right now on YouTube.com/GerwickNet. over there. I've already said what I got to say about it, but I'm sticking with the B minus. I gave the show the other night. I think the challenge worked hard, but I wasn't really happy with the outcome.
You know, Teddy, they started this pregame show at 7. They had two matches on there. They had the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and then they actually added 30 minutes. It was actually over at 11:30 Eastern, so definitely 4.5 hours segmented off for this pay-per-view. Now, you've been there, of course, live events. 4.5 hours is a long time. I mean, at some point, do they need to reduce the pregame show maybe to a half an hour, or do you kind of like them running over at 11 o'clock to say, hey, we're giving you extra content, the pay-per-view goes long?
Well, I don't think that means anything by running over. I mean, you know, if you got a good show, you can give those people 3 hours of good pay-per-view and good wrestling, and they'll be happy. I think going over is just too much. I what they call it in the wrestling business is overkill. So I wouldn't, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't do that. I would just stay with a good 3 hour show and entertain those people and let them go home happy.
And that's what I wrote on our Facebook group. It was WWE Overkill. That should have been the name of the show, because this one just dragged on and on. The undercard wasn't much there. Baron Corbin, we talked about him on the last podcast. I don't think he's over. I don't think he's somebody you want to go out of your way to check out his match. Then there was this, I know Teddy didn't see the show, but there was this match they sandwiched between the Money in the Bank ladder match, which was certainly one of the feature matches. Obviously, the name of the show is Money in the Bank, but they sequenced it. They had the ladder match, then they sandwiched the U.S. Championship match after the ladder match before the main event, the world title match. And so we had Titus O'Neil versus Rusev. And I was basically falling asleep, Frank. I mean, I watched the show from 7 o'clock on. I wanted to see it, and I was really starting to fall asleep. I really thought after the ladder match we would see the championship match. And you know what, Frank, in the future, I've always been a old school guy, says the championship match goes on last, but that was not the match I wanted to see the most. And if they're going to go 4.5 hours, you know, give me these championship matches in the middle of the show, because, man, that really dragged at the end. Rusev versus Titus O'Neil. And like I said on my Facebook group, why was this match on, Frank? No one cared about this match.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. It was the drizzling shits, pretty much. I mean, I didn't care for it at all. It just really kind of exposed Titus O'Neil somewhat. And he needs some work. He needs some work there. This match was... It was a bathroom break, pretty much, and it was for the U.S. Championship. And that just really kind of showed you where the U.S. title has gone. I mean, John Cena, for months and months and months, he built that title up to mean something. And ever since, you know, Cena went out with the injury and they had to drop the belt, and then when Kalisto got it, they didn't really do anything with it, and now they've given it back to Rusev. And I just think that Rusev has fallen off a peg, you know, somewhat. You know, he was with the League of Nations angle for a while there and kind of in the doghouse, and now they're trying to rebuild him up, and I don't know. Titus came back with very little fanfare. I mean, he was suspended. We all know the story with that, and they just brought him back, and all of a sudden now you're going to go for the U.S. Championship. It wasn't organic. It was just they just put him out there. You know what I'm saying? So I thought the match was a drizzling shit. And then at the end there, Rusev is cutting a promo, and he calls Titus O'Neil a loser. His sons are sitting right there in the front row, and then his son, like, slaps Rusev. Did you see that shit?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So I'm like, my God, you know, son like father, pretty much.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot to do with Titus O'Neil, Teddy, to get. I mean, I just didn't see Titus O'Neil in the U.S. Championship title picture. And here he is in the semi-main event of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. He's taking on Rusev. And I don't know, what's your overall opinion of Rusev as well? I didn't really think the fans were into this match at all, but I'm just not sure the fans are really into Rusev right now. It seems like the League of Nations, this was kind of a blow-off. They really had no fallout from that group. They just kind of all went in their own directions. And I don't know, what do you think of Rusev and Titus O'Neil at this point?
Well, I like Rusev. I mean, I think he's a great heel. You know, when they first brought him in and started using him right, he had a lot of heat. And I think right now, if you put him back in a good position, he can, you know, retain that heat. But Titus, I just don't, you know, maybe there's somebody there that likes him. That's all I can tell you. They all know, you know, what his capabilities are and where he's going to go as far as being in the wrestling business. So to continue to, you know, put him in positions like they put him in, I guess somebody likes him, or I guess maybe they have plans for him. I don't know. But Titus, it's like Frank said at the beginning, Titus needs a lot of work. So if it was me, I would have Titus go back down to NXT and take about 3 months off, go back down to NXT and get his ring skills worked on, and then bring him back and start all over with him.
You know, another thing that I want to bring up, too, is the fact that when Titus O'Neil got suspended, he had all this support. Everybody was just going crazy how wrong it was for Titus to have been suspended and yada, yada, yada. And all these people were like, can't wait for Titus to come back and let's push Titus. And my God, man, when he came out there the other night at Money in the Bank, you could hear crickets. Nobody gave a damn.
For the match overall, I mean, it was brutal to watch. That's got to be like a minus 5 stars.
Yeah, but my point is where is the fan support? Where are all these people that were going to support Titus when Titus came back? They were so upset that he got suspended, which, you know, the suspension was bullshit. Yeah, I agree with that. But where is the support? Where are the fans? Where are the Titus O'Neil fans? I didn't hear any the other night when he was at Money in the Bank when he came out there. That's what I'm saying.
And apparently, Frank, you're telling me they're going to do Rusev O'Neil 2 at Battleground?
It looks like that's what they're going with. I mean, from what I saw last night on Raw, this feud continues. So it's likely that, you know, at Battleground, Titus O'Neil will probably end up being the United States champion because they're just passing, you know, playing hot potato around with this championship now. And the Intercontinental Championship means nothing because The Miz is off doing a movie, so they're not defending that belt. So there you go, man.
Rusev, is he a main event player? I mean, right now he's a U.S. champion. They've given him a lot of time and effort, you know, building him up. Is he a main event player? And once he's drafted, or is he switches shows, or he stays on Raw, do you see him getting in the world title picture?
Well, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. I to me, in my opinion, I think I would just leave Rusev where he is. I think he's a mid-card guy. You know, putting the U.S. belt on him, I think that's a great step. But I would kind of maybe just leave him where he is. I don't think I would try to advance him to being the world champion. I just don't think that would work. I don't, you know, but who knows? You know, in the WWF, there are a lot of things that people say don't work that they finally end up working. So I just don't know. But if it was me, I would just leave him a mid-card guy, leave him where he is, and let him go from there.
I kind of agree with Teddy that Rusev is a mid-card guy. And at one time, Steve, I think that he could have been a main eventer. He could have been World Heavyweight Champion. But unfortunately, he ran into that brick wall known as John Cena. And that was it. And his angle that he was on with Dolph Ziggler, it did him no favors. Lana putting out that they were getting married did him no favors. So I don't really think that WWE is going to trust him being the world champion. They're not going to put him in that position. Things could change, but right now I just see him as a mid-carder. It's no different than what's going on right now with Bray Wyatt. The Wyatt family returned last night to Monday Night Raw, and it seems like they're going to go into a feud here with the New Day. And they actually did some kind of crazy shit last night, too. They had kind of like, you know, Xavier Woods was, you know, mesmerized by Bray Wyatt, and he couldn't do the usual New Day shtick. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It looks like they may be setting something up here. Maybe Xavier Woods might be going to the other side or might be leaving New Day. I mean, I have no idea where they're going with this, but I thought it was kind of interesting. If you look at John Cena and some of the guys that could have been main eventers and then they do feuds with him, they don't hit the main event. They just stay where they are. So I think that's pretty much where Rusev's going to be at right now. He's just going to stay where he's at, feuding with Titus O'Neil, probably being the U.S. champion, but the U.S. champion right now, it's nothing in WWE. It's, the U.S. belt is garbage.
Teddy, I know you didn't see the show Sunday night, Money in the Bank show. We talked a lot about this leading up to the show with Cena versus AJ. Certainly AJ had to get the victory, and they did the outside interference where AJ got the win. I just felt like it was so lackluster. It was a good match. It was a dream match. You know, Cena's first match back in a while. AJ so desperately needed a victory after losing a couple of matches on pay-per-view. The way they did it came off, just left a real bad taste in your mouth. Like, okay, yeah, AJ won, but it really accomplished nothing. It didn't really put a notch in AJ's belt. And I know, obviously, this is going to be the summer feud. They're going to go AJ, Cena, probably for the next 2 pay-per-views. But Teddy, you know, when I saw the match and I saw the way it ended, that's just not the way you want to book AJ at this point. It seems like AJ is somebody you want to make now. You know, John Cena's been there for a long time. He's the established star. He's the number one babyface. But that was not the way to book AJ on Sunday night.
Well, it always comes down to that. You know, you and I may think a lot of ways that they should do things, and I think that what they do is they don't do what the people want. They do what they want and what they feel that's right and what they think that's going to draw money and do ratings. So, like I said, I didn't see too much in a match with AJ. I had a chance to, you know, like I said, I didn't have any cable service because of the weather, so I didn't get a chance to look at the network. So I did kind of follow it on Twitter, and from what I saw on Twitter, I thought it was a great match, and I thought that AJ kind of carried Cena myself, if you want to look at it that way. So I don't know what the plans are. Like I said, me and Frank, we talked about it before this Money in the Bank pay-per-view came up. I told you that definitely they couldn't beat AJ. They would have to try to let, you know, AJ go over, and of course, so they can try to run a program with this. So I just don't know which direction they're going in, and I don't think anybody else knows. We just going to have to wait and see.
And Frank, you speculated this on your review with Atlee Green. It really feels to me that they have the rematch at Battleground, the deciding match at SummerSlam, and it really feels like AJ wins match number one, and then the next two matches are going to be Cena. Cena's going to go over in this program.
Yeah, I mean, it could end up that way. I hope it doesn't end up that way, but just going by history of the way things go with John Cena, it could go that way. But I thought the match that John Cena had with AJ Styles every night was pretty good. I mean, Cena, you know, was carried, obviously, by Styles, and just John Cena calling out spots. And I would think a guy who's been wrestling as long as John Cena, and, you know, being a main event guy and being the face of the company, he would not be out there calling spots like that. I mean, Bret Hart pretty much says a guy, you know, like Cena, who's a veteran, should not be doing that. And you can hear Cena clearly, before he did everything, you can clearly hear him calling out the spots. That's why I said the other day in our review that Matthew from Botchamania has a lot of content for his You Talk Too Much segment, because John Cena was out there just talking during the entire match. I don't know. You know, a lot of people had a problem with the finish because Gallows and Anderson interfered. I originally had a problem with the finish, and then I thought about it for a minute. And, you know, I'm like, AJ right now is a heel. So you would expect AJ to have some type of help from, you know, the club, which I have to say, too, Steve, I don't know if you noticed or not, but the club now has a logo. It was on the tights of Anderson and Gallows and AJ Styles. It's pretty badass, too. It's a pretty badass logo. So if they put that on a T-shirt, I might be inclined to buy the club T-shirt. It looks pretty cool.
Well, speaking of the club, what was up with that tag match?
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Botchamania.
Yeah, that was Botchamania for sure. I don't know what the hell happened there. I mean, the referee, he did a 1, 2, 3, and he realized what he did. He did a 4 to try and make it look right. He counted, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the hell was going on. There was a lot of miscommunications there. Kofi Kingston went for the Trouble in Paradise on Enzo. That spot got botched. He kicked Enzo. So, I don't know, man. It was the tag match was horrible. I really, you know, I really thought that they should have put the club versus the New Day for the tag team belts and put the belts on Anderson and Gallows. And obviously now it looks like they're moving into another direction with the tag team championship. So it looks like Anderson and Gallows have been moved to the side, just like Enzo and Cass have been moved to the side, because it looks like the New Day are going to be feuding with the Wyatts over the belts. So I don't know, man. It's a lot going on here. And that kind of makes me speculate, are we going to see another set of tag team championships?
Well, the New Day's had the titles, what, over 300 days now? They're going up, what, close to a year? And, of course, with the draft coming up, there's three guys there. Do you guys expect them to break up the New Day, or do you think they'll continue on, you know, pushing the New Day?
Well, somebody, you know, like I said, they're very entertaining. I can definitely give you that. They're definitely entertaining. And that's what our business has come to now. It's the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. So, and I do hear a lot of people get behind them, you know, a lot of people like that, so maybe I guess that's what they want to do. You know, my thing with it is all along, I just, you know, I don't like it. I'm just one person. I just got one opinion, but like I said, the majority rules and the majority wins, so there are majority of people that like them, and like I said, they're entertaining, and they seem to, you know, keep the belts on them for a reason. They're not putting them on them just so they can look good. They have to be somewhere they're drawing money, or they're selling merchandise, or they're doing something. So, you know, my thing is congratulations to the New Day.
You know something? We go from guys wearing shoulder pads with spikes to cool tag teams like the Outsiders and the New Age Outlaws to guys wearing dildos on their head and wearing rainbows and shit. This is where we're at right now in 2016 when it comes to the tag division, when it comes to who's the tag team champions. I, for one, I'm kind of tired of the New Day at this point. I think it's kind of stale now. At first, it was kind of funny. It was kind of ha-ha, you know? But now it's like, yeah, can we get somebody to get the straps off these guys? They could be the New Day all they want to, but that don't mean they got to be the tag team champions while they're doing it. I think they really dropped the ball when they didn't put the belts on Anderson and Gallows. Anderson and Gallows was the hottest tag team over in Japan. And they came over here, and they're pretty much nothing. They're second fiddle. They're bit players here in the tag team division. I think that's crap. I for one, yeah, congratulations on the success of the New Day. I knew where they were when they started with this New Day and where they are now. But it's running its course now. And I think a lot of people out there who are New Day fans that get a kick out of their stuff, that's fine. I'm not telling you who to like. I'm just telling you what I don't like. So, once again, cool tag teams like, you know, the Hall and Nash back in the day, New Age Outlaws, Steiner Brothers, Harlem Heat, and now we got guys with rainbows and dildos on their heads and Big E gyrating his hips. There you go.
What do you think, Frank? Do you think they split up the New Day in the draft, or are they going to keep them together for a while?
That's hard to say, Steve. You know, that's hard to say. I mean, they're talking about everybody gets split up, so if you split up these two guys, are you going to split up Enzo and Cass as well? I mean, they are. I will give the New Day credit for this. The New Day is one of the most over acts in the company. So are Big Cass and Enzo. So, I don't know. I mean, I know back in the day when the original draft, there were three-man groups there, and they drafted them all together. I mean, NWO got drafted together. Billy and Chuck and Rico got drafted together. So why wouldn't the New Day? But they're talking about everybody, you know, tag teams will be split up. So I don't know. That's WWE, man. WWE is going to be the ones to make that call. I just don't think at this time, what would be the point of splitting them up? Where do you go? Because you split them up. I mean, so once again, it's like I said on the previous show. If you split up the New Day, am I now supposed to take Big E seriously as a contender for the IC Championship or the U.S. Championship or the World Championship, when the guy's been wearing a damn dildo on his head and gyrating his hips and shit? I'm supposed to take that seriously as a contender for the World Championship? Absolutely not. He's a comedy figure now. He's a comedy act. And it's going to be hard to take away that stain of a comedy act. It's kind of like what they did to Vader. You remember how Vader was a huge monster in WCW? And then he comes over to the WWE, and they turn him babyface, and it wasn't the same after that. You know, he even said on the show, Steve, he said one of the pay-per-views, he's a fat piece of shit. That's what he said. So he was never the same. You're never the same once they start putting the screws to you. And unfortunately now, I think that Big E's in territory where he ain't going to be able to come back from that. He's going to be typecast as just the comedy guy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the big switch here at Money in the Bank. Dean Ambrose won the Money in the Bank briefcase. He cashed it in after Seth Rollins had beat Roman Reigns for the championship. He cashed it in and, of course, pinned Seth Rollins. So your new champion is Dean Ambrose. I have to think here, Teddy, how show business has suffered. We know where the ratings are. They keep sliding. The viewership under 2 million for SmackDown. We saw the Raw numbers tumble down as well. I know we're in a transitional period, you know, going from Raw to the brand split, but I really think it was time to take the belt off Roman. I don't know if Dean Ambrose is the right guy, but then again, who is the right guy at this point? What was your reaction when Roman Reigns lost, and what do you ultimately think of Dean Ambrose now as the WWE champion?
I saw that too, and what that also tells me this is that the WWE is unpredictable. And I've known that ever since when I worked there. So I like Dean Ambrose. I think he's a great character on TV. He does a good job with the Ambrose Asylum and that thing he does on Raw. But to just put the world title on him, you know, out of the blue like that, I just don't follow it. I'm hoping that, you know, maybe they made the right decision. I'm hoping that Dean Ambrose can carry that world title. I don't know how long he's going to hold on to it, but like I said, it's brand new. It's something fresh. It's something that they never done, and it's something that the people didn't expect. So let's see if it works.
What's the bigger surprise here, Frank? They give up on the Roman Reigns experiment, or they put the championship on Ambrose?
Steve, both of those, to be honest with you. I was not expecting Roman Reigns to lose that belt. I said in our prediction show last week that if you thought Seth Rollins was going to walk out with the championship, it's just not going to happen. And then, booyah, it happens. But then they take the belt right off of Rollins and put it on Ambrose. Now, I'm going to be, you know, in a minority here, but I don't see Dean Ambrose as a WWE champion. I just don't see it myself. But at the same time, I'm not going to completely shit on the idea. The other day, I was kind of pissed about it. I'm like, you know, I'm not an Ambrose fan. I think his work is, you know, sloppy. But I'm not going to completely shit on it yet. I want to see where they go with the story. They're obviously going to go with the triple threat, you know, with the three Shield members here. But they're making a mistake, and they're doing it at Battleground. And that probably has to do with the fact that they're doing the draft. And, you know, Ali Green brought up a good point there already during our review. He said that he wonders if they put the belt on Ambrose so they didn't have to worry about that Money in the Bank situation, since they're going to be splitting up the brands. And most likely they're going to have two world champions. So they probably just went ahead and got that out of the way now. I'm looking, you know, forward to seeing what they do moving forward with Ambrose. I mean, there's rumors that there's going to be two world champions. So, I mean, Ambrose probably will carry this belt, and somebody else will carry the other championship. But I don't think that you've seen the last of Roman Reigns as a world champion. I don't see that, you know, at all. I mean, I said the other day that they're probably going to push Roman to the side, and he probably won't get a world championship. And, you know, that was on Sunday night when we did the show. But after watching Raw last night, I still think they're going to go with some type of plans for Roman to eventually get back the belt.
Yeah, I guess, Teddy, that'd be the obvious question from here is, what do you do with Roman? He was the world champion. He definitely was not over. Does he go back to the mid-card and build himself back up, or do you still see him as a main player?
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't put the belt back on him. I'd put that belt on Seth Rollins. In my opinion, they may see it like I see it. Okay, I love Roman Reigns. Don't get me wrong. I like him. He's a great guy. But Seth Rollins can talk, and plus another thing, Seth Rollins, to me, in my opinion, is a hell of a worker. And I think that he is the guy that can carry that world title. That's just how I feel about it. And that, you know, that's just it. That's my opinion.
But technically, Seth Rollins, he beat Roman Reigns clean in the ring for that championship.
Right.
Now, the thing that I think I have a problem with when it comes to Dean Ambrose winning the title is, okay, we always come on the show, and I use the term bury, you know, and people don't get it. It's part of the shtick, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm having fun with the word, because that's what people, you know, all you see on the internet everywhere is people got buried, so that's why I use it. But people always bring up the fact that AJ Styles was getting buried, and they always bring up his win and loss record in WWE. Nobody ever brings up Dean Ambrose's win and loss record in WWE. So I guess the reason why I was pissed about the situation every night was, they can put the championship belt on Dean Ambrose, but they wouldn't put it on AJ Styles. You know, which I think if AJ would have beat Roman, I thought that would have been a big deal. And then you could have led to, you know, Roman versus Seth. And Dean Ambrose still could have won Money in the Bank, although I would have probably given it to Chris Jericho. I thought Jericho's work, you know, has been pretty good lately.
And my opinion on that, Frank, is this right here. AJ Styles was not a Vince McMahon or a WWE creation.
Right.
So that's why I think that didn't happen. Not saying that it may not happen, but believe me, it'll be a while.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree with you as far as him not being one of their creations is one of the reasons why they probably haven't put the championship belt on him. But I think eventually, whatever they do with the brand split and they have two world champions, we're going to see AJ Styles as world champion sooner rather than later. I can bank on that.
You just nailed it. They weren't going to give him the championship when it was just one championship. But now if they water it down to two belts, then they'll give him a belt.
Well, they're going out of their way, man, to make SmackDown a big deal, and they got a hell of a task ahead of them to make SmackDown a big deal. They're trying. I mean, they brought Johnny Ass on the TV last night, and once again, he didn't get the Teddy Long treatment.
Did he get buried?
I don't think he got buried. I mean, Shane McMahon says, hey, I'm sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, come on, Johnny, let's go. Johnny was only in that one segment, so I don't think he got buried at all. Matter of fact, I don't think the fans got buried at all last night. We only got to see Johnny for one segment. So, there you go. If he was on other segments during Raw, I probably didn't see them because, every time I watch Raw, I fast forward to the shit that I don't want to see. So,
I don't think I've seen it either. I looked at the last half, and I was looking forward to see him, to see what they were having him do, and I never did see him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the GRP. More right after this.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. That is the official merchandise store of Gurick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling with each one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gurick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
The Gerwick Report Podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
Let me holler at you, boy! Tonight, Theodore Long is in charge. Now, you better believe that. Is you're not booing me, you're booing because you can't accept the fact that a black man has the power. You feel me?
Come on. Wait a minute.
Now, I guess a lot of you people here in Memphis, Tennessee, I guess you say, well, he's not talking to me, the good white people of Memphis. We're not racist, you see? Well, you see, that's typical. Because one thing I do know, that every white man from New York City to Memphis, Tennessee would like to say that he's not a racist. But you see, what I do know is that he is a racist. And I want you to understand one thing. Unless a lot of you are going to say now, well, Memphis, Tennessee, we got a black mayor.
Come on.
Well, he ain't really a black man. Because if he was a black man, then this city would not be overcome with illiteracy, poverty, and crime.
Now you better believe that. Hey, Teddy Long.
Who are you talking to?
Now, you can be in charge if you want to. That's fine with me. But Memphis, Tennessee happens to be my hometown, and I'm damn proud of it. And I'm not going to sit here and listen to you run it down. You understand that?
Well.
Let me holler at you, player.
Let me holler at you, player.
WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long.
Talking about the draft, how they're going to split the rosters up. One thing that surfaced here, a lot of rumors that they're going to look at some familiar faces, possibly returning, possibly to be in the draft itself. You know, they typically like to throw in a name or two that's not currently on the roster. Now, some of these names that are popping up as possible returnees kind of surprised me. We've heard names like Stevie Richards, Carlito, and MVP are names that have come to the forefront as guys who could possibly be involved in the draft itself. Teddy, is there anybody out there that you can see or think of that would make sense for to come back at this point? And what would you think about either Stevie, Carlito, or MVP returning to WWE?
Well, I think all three of those guys are great guys to make a comeback. Stevie Richards, a great worker, MVP. You know, he had a lot of success there. And Carlito, he's been gone for a while, so he would certainly be fresh for him. And, you know, I did some stuff with him, had a great time. So I think all three of those guys would be good to come back.
I thought this was supposed to be the new era. So,
true.
So if it's the new era, because that's what they keep saying on television, it's the new era. No, we don't do this in the new era. So why the hell are we talking to MVP and Shelton Benjamin and Carlito if it's the new era? Wouldn't it make more sense to just go ahead and bring up Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Finn Balor, Nakamura? That's a new era right there. Bobby Roode, new era. I don't see Shelton Benjamin as part of a new era. I mean, we've had Shelton Benjamin, we've had MVP, we've had Carlito. And these guys were stuck in mid-card. They didn't go past the mid-card. So why should I think that this is going to happen any different if they bring them back? What are they going to be doing? They're going to be put in the role of the Dudleys. We're just going to be putting over the younger talent. But like I said before, this isn't the new era. That's going back into the old era.
And then the other thing, too, I'll touch on this, you know, bringing those guys back, too, and like you said, Frank, just to put, you know, like the Dudleys, just to put over the new era. I mean, if they came back to just put over the new era, that's not going to help the new era go. These guys have been gone for a while. Their credibility for us being on WWE is pretty much done. So, I mean, there are a lot of people watching now that don't even know these guys. So to bring them back just to put over the new era, I don't see where that means anything. Maybe it does in one era, in one sense, and maybe in another it don't.
I don't see where it works. I really don't. I mean, I just don't see it myself. Because they had MVP there a few, you know, years ago, and they could have made him the Royal Champion if they wanted to, and they didn't. Same thing with Shelton Benjamin. Benjamin was a hell of an athlete. I mean, when you look at those Money in the Bank ladder matches that Benjamin was involved in, you watched him to see what he was going to do. Same thing like Kofi Kingston. You watched the Royal Rumble to see what Kofi is going to do this year. So other than that, I mean, I don't see where it works. Because once again, they've been promoting the fact that this is a new era and everything is going to be different. Well, if you got either of the McMahons running both shows, that's not the new era. If you're bringing back old talent, that's not the new era. And, you know, other names that have been mentioned as well, Steve, they've talked about Kurt Angle, and they've talked about Mr. Kennedy as well, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, jeez. I don't think that's going to work out too well.
I can see Kurt coming back, but I don't know about Anderson. I don't know if Randy Orton would be happy with that.
Well, after his last little go-around there, I don't know. But, you know, what's interesting, when I start hearing some of these names, you know, possibly returning, is that a reflection on the lack of star power on the current roster? Because, you know, when you sit there and you're going to watch this draft, I guess it's going to be July 19th. It's going to be on SmackDown. The first time ever the WWE draft is going to be on SmackDown, which I think is a good idea. You know, it'll be the first night SmackDown goes live on a Tuesday night. They're going to have the draft. But I think these names are surfacing as a reflection on the current roster being kind of weak. Because we're going to sit there and we're going to hear a lot of names being drafted, and you're like, who cares about this guy? I mean, who cares if Heath Slater gets drafted? So it seems to me that you have to throw in a couple of oddballs or wild card names to make the draft seem, I don't know, more special?
I have no idea, of course, seeing that, you know, it making the draft seem special or not. Really, I just can't answer that question, Steve. I'll just be honest with you. I'm pretty much as lost with that as you are. I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I mean, you know something? If you look at the show right now, it's made up of all new guys. I mean, you know, you still have, you know, your established guys there like New Day, Dolph Ziggler. You know, you still got, you know, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose doing their thing, Chris Jericho, but a lot of new guys have come onto the scene that were previously in NXT. So I think you might have a point there. It is a reflection that, you know, we have these guys here, but we need some of the superstars from the past to bring back some of the people out there that are no longer watching the show. I think that's where it goes into. I mean, you got MVP fans out there, you got Carlito fans out there, you got Shawn Benjamin fans out there. Let's take all the people that we've alienated and let's try to bring them back into the fold. I think that's pretty much what you might be looking at here, what's going on.
I mean, does anybody care what show Curtis Axel ends up on?
I don't know, Steve. You know, when we do the podcast here, you always pick on the social outcasts.
I don't mean to deliberately. It's just, you know, when you're going to hear these names on the draft, you're thinking, what do I care? I mean, let's face it. The only people we really care about in the draft are going to be the top names. We want to know where Cena's going to go. We want to know where AJ's going to go. We want to know where Randy Orton's going to end up, the main event players. And then, yeah, it's nice to know who the mid-card guys are going to be. But generally, the ones that we really want to see are the main event players.
Well, you know, people like the social outcasts, they will probably be a part of what they call the supplemental draft.
True.
After the bigger names that have been drawn. But who knows? I mean, that live SmackDown, that show could probably end up being 3 hours. Who knows?
Oh, well, gosh, Frank, don't give them ideas now. Come on.
Oh, shit, Stevie, you know.
I sat through 4.5 hours of Money in the Bank for my $9.99. Don't do this to me now.
Right. And you, if you're a new subscriber, you get your first month free. So.
But I don't know if I got my $9.99's worth. I don't know.
I don't know either, dude. You know, like I said before, man, earlier, you know, usually I come on here and say, yeah, $9.99, I got my money's worth, and I'm still kind of mixed on it.
Yeah, when I'm about ready to fall asleep, I'm not sure it's worth my $9.99, but but I am enjoying the White Boy Challenge, because there's a lot of White Boy Challenges that are not on YouTube. So I would definitely say to watch all the White Boy Challenges. It's definitely worth the money.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, Steve. I've been watching a lot of bad TV lately. A lot of bad WCW Nitros from 2000 that they've added to the network. Jeez, man. Whew. You talk about some horrible TV. Just look at WCW. I was watching this stuff live at the time. And
you must be talking about the closing the closing days.
Yeah, dude, when they're pushing, like, the Harris brothers as the tag champions, I'm talking about when the Harris brothers were a part of the NWO 2000. That's what I'm talking about here. This is the shit they're showing. They're showing, you know, Sting and Luger, you know, as heels. And, which, you know, at the time I thought was cool, but looking back right now, this was really stupid. You know, and they got Hogan out there teaming with Bret Hart, and Hulk Hogan's back in the red and yellow. Just a lot of bad, bad TV, like I said. You know, they got Russo and Ferrara playing the powers that be. So, I don't know. I didn't really care for it. They're running some stupid angle with La Parca. I really forgot how bad this stuff really was. I mean, and I was a loyal WCW fan to the end. I watched the end shit. I'm talking about when nobody was in the arena and they had the dark, you know, tarp it all off and it had all the seats, you know, it was dark. I stayed with it. And now, you know, WWE Network, they're uploading all this stuff. They got a lot of AWA stuff on there that you can watch as well. But it's just crazy, man, just looking at WCW towards the end there, just how bad it really was. And they, you know, they tried to do some stuff there with the New Blood at the end, and it just didn't work. They tried Goldberg as a heel. That didn't work. You know, and it's kind of funny, too. I look at Goldberg as being a heel in WCW, and you know, you would think that WWE would have learned from those mistakes. And then, you know, the next year, they turned Steve Austin heel. Go figure.
Have you seen Horace Hogan and Vincent all over again?
Oh, dude, you talking about the NWO the C team there?
The Jobber team.
Oh yeah, they're still on there. Yep, NWO C team. That's right. Yep.
NWO Job Squad.
Yeah, watching all that shit. It's all on the WWE Network for just $9.99.
While we're on the topic of the network, I actually did watch most of the AJ Styles interview on the Stone Cold podcast, and Frank, they mentioned TNA. Go figure.
Yeah, man. Everybody just jizzed all over themselves when he mentioned TNA. And I'm going to tell you right now, what people don't understand is that they have been mentioning TNA. You know, they mentioned TNA on the Dudley Boys DVD. Sting, Into the Light, he talks about TNA. They show pictures of him from TNA. So it wasn't really if they were going to talk about it. I knew they were going to talk about it eventually, because how the hell can you talk about AJ Styles without talking about TNA? So, yeah, they show pictures of AJ from TNA.
They will mention TNA on the network, but they wouldn't on Raw the other night.
Which I don't understand that either. That's kind of stupid. You can mention Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you can mention Ring of Honor, you can mention New Japan, but you don't mention TNA. What's the big damn deal? What's the problem with mentioning TNA? That we you know, we're not stupid. We know that they exist, so why not mention TNA? I think, like I said before, it brings a whole lot more credibility if you bring up TNA. It really plays on real life there. They talk about this being the reality era. Well, it ain't so much reality when you can't mention TNA on Raw. Okay, now I know the whole thing of them never, you know, mentioning WCW back in the day, but he would mention them when he needed to mention them.
Other than the TNA references, was there anything that surprised you about that interview last night?
Yeah, dude, you know what? I did not know that AJ Styles, you know, his father was a Marine. I didn't know that, you know, his father was pretty, you know, strict on them due to, you know, being, you know, an alcoholic and all that stuff. I didn't know that about Styles. I did not know that, you know, Styles' contract was not picked up by WWE. I didn't know that at all. You know, they talked about when he was in the WCW towards the end there. You know, you remember that, Steve, when he was tag teaming with Air Paris on
right.
Nitro, Thunder, and Worldwide Wrestling. And he says that John Laurinaitis, you know, informed him that WWF at the time wasn't going to pick up his contract, so he just went to wrestle elsewhere. And he met up with the Jarretts. It was, remember those pay-per-views back in the day, World Wrestling All-Stars, WWA? They used to be run out of Australia.
I do, yeah.
Okay, so you remember one of those shows, and like Nathan Jones versus Scott Steiner was one of the main events with Sid Vicious as a commissioner. Horrible shit. But anyways,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was horrible. But AJ worked that show, and AJ met with Jeff Jarrett. And this is when the Jarretts were actually running NWA, TNA. They were starting up. And AJ says that, as far as he knows, he was the first person they signed to TNA. And then and pretty much the rest is history after that. He was down there. But AJ didn't really think much of it. He just looked at it as another independent for the first 6 months until Pan Energy comes in, and Pan Energy buys the territory. And then they start bringing in other people like, you know, Samoa Joe, and they bring in Christian Cage, and they brought in, you know, Kurt Angle, and then, you know, Sting comes in there, and you're like, okay, we got something going on here. And he felt at one time, just like all of us do, felt at one time that TNA could actually be viable competition for WWE and for UFC. You know, they were trying to be competition for everybody. But then he also mentions that Dixie Carter pretty much favored the guys that she saw when she, you know, would watch TV, that she saw growing up, other than the guys that brought her to the dance, pretty much. And that, to me, was a polite way of saying that she was a mark for the bigger names. And she was a mark for the WWE guys that they brought over there and that they would push, rather than her own homegrown talents. You know, so he brought that up. And I thought that, you know, AJ was going to bury TNA, and he really didn't. He was just pretty much straightforward, straight to the point when it came to talking about TNA. They brought up the six-sided ring, and he said pretty much the six-sided ring was their identity, and it was a bitch to work on, but it was their identity. And he, you know, got wind that when Hulk Hogan came in there, that Hulk Hogan was going to change the six-sided ring to the four-sided ring, and that's what they did. And he felt, you know, hey, it was the four-sided ring was a lot easier to work on, but six sides was their identity. So that's pretty much what he said about TNA. And he brought up, you know, Stone Cold asked him, you know, why did you leave, you know, TNA? You were there for 11 years, why did you leave? Well, AJ pretty much confirmed it was all about money. You know, he says when you are, you know, pretty much good at what you do, you work hard, you should be paid for it. And TNA pretty much lowballed him, just like we thought. So to get to WWE, he says that, hey, you know, somebody he knew got in touch with Triple H, and Triple H was supposed to call him, and the call never came. And he was like, well, you know what, I'm 37 years old, they're probably never going to call, and if they don't ever call, that's fine. And then, you know, he was talking to TNA, talking about maybe going back there, and he, you know, confirms what was on the internet, you know, back in January about there had been some contact communication about him going back there. And I guess Anderson and Gallows were going to go back. We're going to go to TNA with him. Well, then they got a call from Triple H, and that changed everything. And they decided to go ahead and go down to WWE. And that pretty much was, you know, the most noteworthy part about it.
Yeah, I kind of liked his little pot shot on Dixie Carter. He didn't bury her, as you would say, Frank, but he got his little pot shot in on her, and I think he was just being as honest as he could. And I thought it was a pretty honest interview for the Stone Cold podcast there, and I mean, he basically called her a mark without saying mark. So.
Well, you know, here's my issue I have with the podcast, and it's a little bitty thing. The issue I have with the podcast is that Stone Cold Steve Austin was talking last night, and they muted some of what he was saying.
And language, right?
Could be, I don't know. But as Austin said, he apologized for the use of those two four-letter words, but when you're paying $9.99 for something a month, you should get what you paid for. So they're muting him and censoring him and all this other shit. Same thing they did at Money in the Bank. And I've consistently noticed this ever since, I would say, Payback, where they have been screwing with the audio. There was a big, boring chant the other night during Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler, and all of a sudden it faded away within a matter of a few seconds. So I don't know what the hell is going on here with WWE, but they're screwing with the audio on these live events now. 1 minute, the commentaries can be real low, and then they come real high. So I don't know what the hell is going on there, but that's one of the things I noticed last night during the Stone Cold podcast with Styles, was he was talking about stuff, and they would mute the audio.
Frank, I saw that. The way Austin apologized, it made it sound like maybe he was being yelled at in his ear to say, you better say you're sorry for that. Like that was unnecessary, uncalled for?
I don't know. It's bullshit. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's his thing. This is the WWE Network. You know, I'm paying $9.99 for the shit. You're supposed you touted uncensored. Well, that's censorship right there, and it's bullshit. If I'm paying $9.99 for something, I should get what I'm paying for. And I should not have Stone Cold Steve Austin muted. If you're going to do that part, then maybe you should have two versions of this podcast, the uncensored version and the censored version. That's what I would do.
Was that live last night?
See, that's I don't know if it was live or not. Because he's saying that, he mentioned that AJ Styles went out there and kicked the crap out of John Cena earlier. But I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that maybe this podcast was recorded earlier during the day or something. And Austin kind of knew ahead of time what they were going to do with AJ Styles during the night. But I don't know. Because usually, I could have sworn they said that the main events on some of these shows that we have been dark matches with AJ Styles involving them. So I don't know.
What do you think, Teddy? Are you surprised they actually brought up TNA on WWE Network?
Well, yeah, a little bit surprised, because I'm like, Frank, if you're going to say it on the network, why you can't say it on Raw? It really doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, that kind of surprised me. But, you got to mention that. That's where the guy's roots are, is TNA, AJ. Everybody knows that. So, for them, maybe they have a change of heart. Sometimes they do things that they think they shouldn't do, and then they change their mind and they do them. So, I don't know.
What, real quickly, Teddy, we were mentioning the six-sided ring there. And when you were working at WWE, was there ever any thought on them doing the six-sided ring? Did they take that seriously? Was it kind of a joke that everybody in America has a four-sided ring, yet TNA had a six-sided ring?
Well, I don't think they ever planned to do that in WWE. No, ain't no way. If I can remember back, I think everybody just took that as a joke, and they blamed it basically all on Vince Russo, and saying that that was his call to do that and how stupid it was. So I don't think that would have ever happened there. And like I said, when TNA did that, that, it was something different for them, which should have got them, it did get them some attention, but it would have kept a lot of more attention on them because, they needed something different. They had a lot of guys down there with names. They had some talent, but the ring was something different for them. So I don't know why they didn't stick with that or what was the reason for them to go back or nothing, but WWE would have never went that route. It was basically a joke to them.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would do a six-sided ring, but I just wonder what the perception was, if they thought that was kind of a joke, that TNA would have a six-sided ring as competition.
Everybody just blamed that on Russo. They said that was something, that was real dumb coming from him. So I don't think it really meant anything to anybody.
Well, I think that was a Jeff Jarrett idea right there for that six-sided ring.
Well, like I said, it could have been, but the guys up there, the guys that I talked to when it happened, they said it was a Russo wanted to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, when NWA TNA first started back in the day, they used a four-sided ring. You know, back in the early days when they were in the asylum in Nashville. So then they switched to six sides. And when it was around the time when they switched to six sides that they started doing Impact Wrestling, which was on what was it, Fox Sports Net or something like that? Yeah. So yep. when they first went to Universal. So I don't know. I thought the ring was unique. But you know, it's really something you would see down in Mexico, to be honest.
You know, so while we're on the topic of TNA, we speculated on the last show about who would be named the newest inductee for the upcoming fall for the TNA Hall of Fame. We threw out all kinds of names, Jeff Hardy, Victoria, Dixie Carter, etc. And they settled on what I think, Frank, is a safe pick. Because let's face it, they're not going to do this induction until October, which is the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. They went with Gail Kim, who I have no problem with. Certainly, she's a great talent. They're not going to induct anybody officially until October. The Bound for Glory pay-per-view is in October. I just thought with, you know, Jeff Hardy's name was out there. I know Frank's brought up AJ Styles. That might have been the original choice. Jeff Jarrett went in last year. Dixie Carter certainly saved the company in the original creation of the promotion. But Gail Kim, say over Victoria or some of the other girls they've had there. That name surprised me, Frank, but on the other hand, I guess it's a safe pick because, I mean, Gail Kim has no interest in returning to WWE, and you would think at least she'll be there in October.
Well, yeah, I mean, all it was a safe pick. I'm not, you know, disputing Gail Kim at all, but when I look at the TNA roster, there is a hell of a lot more deserving people than Gail Kim. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Gail Kim, then, you know, why wouldn't they put the Hall of Fame stature on Angelina Love or Velvet Sky, the Beautiful People? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't they go that route? Or, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, they got a lot of other females there that were part of that knockout division, too. Lisa Marie Veron, you know, Victoria Terra, Mickey James, et cetera, Awesome Kong. So, I don't know. You know, Jeff Hardy's been around for years, so he's another one. But, you know, when it comes down to Hall of Fames, too, I will say this. That a Hall of Fame, you know, when you're being inducted into a Hall of Fame, you should be either retired or really at the tail end of your career. And I don't really see Gail Kim retiring or being at the tail end anytime soon.
Well, then again, though, she is married to what, the chef that's on TV? She could be at the end of her career. I mean, she definitely doesn't need the money anymore. I don't know if she's making any money in TNA these days.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. I'm not disputing Gail Kim or her accomplishments, but there are a lot of other people that are more deserving of that, you know, honor than she is, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, what'd you think, Teddy? What was your reaction to Gail Kim going in the TNA Hall of Fame?
Well, I like Gail Kim. You know, she's a great talent. I worked with her a lot in WWE, but I kind of got to agree with Frank. You know, there are a lot of more girls there that are most deserving of being in the Hall of Fame than Gail Kim. But don't get me wrong now. There's nothing wrong with Gail Kim. It's just I think if you want to be fair, you know, and give opportunity to people, you know, you give it to the people that have busted their ass and deserve it. Not saying that Gail Kim don't deserve it, but there are a lot of people that have been there a lot longer than she has and stayed and were loyal to the company. So, you know, but if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. I don't even watch TNA, so all we're talking about Gail Kim now is all kind of brand new to me. So that's, you know, maybe one of their last-minute decisions.
Well, sure, Teddy, a lot of people weren't watching TNA last Tuesday on Pop TV. You know, when they were having their issues, you know, with that semi-live broadcast they were attempting to do. So, TNA, God bless them.
It's hard to believe they've blame this on, what, severe storms in Atlanta that knocked out their signal or whatever, and they didn't get on until, like, what was it, Frank, like 10:50 Eastern time?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, almost the whole show was over. Now we're live, or now our show is finally making it to air, and what a night to do it. I mean, not that it's ever a good night to have an interruption like that, but on a night you're making your announcement there, and I don't know. What is Pop TV doing on cable if it has a truck that is bothered by severe weather? Wasn't Pop TV TV Guide Network?
I believe it was, yeah. TV Guide Channel, yeah.
I mean, what did they do? Cut way back production? And You got one truck or one tower somewhere that's being affected by weather and the signal goes out?
I guess so, Steve. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I think that the home shopper network probably has better shit than Pop TV does at this point. So there you go, man. I don't know. But I will say this. You know, watching AJ Styles last night on the network talking about TNA, it kind of got me thinking about what if one day WWE does actually purchase TNA? Could you imagine some of the DVDs they're going to put out about that? Really telling the story of the rise and fall of TNA, and you have a lot of the players in WWE. You got Bobby Roode there. You got AJ Styles. You got Austin Aries. You have, you know, people who work behind the scenes there, like Terry Taylor there. You know, you got Road Dogg there talking about TNA. They'll probably bring in, you know, I don't know, Jeff Jarrett or somebody for an interview. It would be really, really cool.
That's true. I don't think they can really produce an AJ DVD at this point until they get the TNA library.
Right.
So
AJ's done matches in Ring of Honor. That'd be easy. You know, they can license the footage from Ring of Honor, but you need the bulk of that from TNA.
Right.
It'll be a matter of time before WWE gets their hands on that. And I can't wait because I really do want to see the rise and fall of TNA.
TNA has announced the re-signings of Rosemary, who was Courtney Rush and Shimmer, Abyss, who we talked about, I think it was on the previous podcast or the podcast before, about his future, DJ Z, and an agent. I love how they put this out. Al Snow has re-signed with TNA. Frank, what's your reaction to these four re-signees?
Dude, I don't really care about that. I'm talking about my TNA Rise and Fall DVD.
What do you think, Teddy? They put out an announcement on, like, other social media that they've re-signed Al Snow.
I know. I Al Snow is a behind-the-scenes guy, okay? He's not one of their talent on TV, so who knows? I mean, who are you telling that to? I don't get that.
You know, something, to be honest, real quick, though, to be honest, if these people can continue to work and TNA is going to pay them, more power to them, honestly.
Cutting all the bullshit aside,
if they can continue to make a living doing what they're doing and they're happy being a part of TNA, hey, more power to you.
Hey, well, that's what I always say, brother. If you can get a check, you go get your check. All you got to do is remember, this ain't real. Go and get your money. I don't not get money.
And that check doesn't bounce. That's the question.
No. Well, I don't know about TNA. I know a WWE check never bounced, but now TNA, I can't speak for it.
And I want to say TNA signed Chelsea Green. She was one of the competitors on Tough Enough. I interviewed her on GirlWick.net. A great talent, trained by Landstorm. And it looks like, Frank, they've announced some new girls coming in. Maybe they're going to do a little bit with the knockouts again.
That'd be great, Steve. It'd be great to have these ladies have somewhere to work. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to watch it because I'm not paying the extra for Pop TV. So I'm sure I'll hear about it at Gerwick.net.
Hey, everyone. This is Maddie Max. And for all your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, pro wrestling since 1997.
And even if you have Pop TV, you may not see TNA anyways. Go figure.
Touche.
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to Mark Merrill. I know a guy that Teddy Long knows very well. Just had heart surgery and is recovering. I saw some pictures on Facebook. So looks like he's going to pull through, Teddy, and make a full recovery.
Yeah. I love him, man. God, I had a great time with him back in the day in WCW, Johnny B. Bad. And I also Facebooked him and let him know, you know, I was praying for him and was glad to see he made a speedy recovery. And as he would always say to me back in the day, oh, hush, Teddy. And so I'm really glad to see him coming around.
But, you know, Frank, at least WWE is going to make Darren Young great again.
Give me a break.
When the hell was Darren ever great?
And Bob Backlund, I guess, is part of the new era.
That's my point. The new era. Let me tell you this right quick, though. I'm going to bring this up right now. So I'm watching NXT, The End, and two big sumbitches come into the ring, right? And they attack American Alpha. And Paul Ellering is the manager of these guys. They call them the Authors of Pain. And they came out, you know, they had a match last week. The match was okay. It wasn't too good. It was passable. But the point I'm making here is that these two big son of bitches right here, right? These two guys here, I can see them on the main roster being backup for Roman Reigns. Because if they really want to do like a faction with Roman Reigns and really be the Roman Empire, you really want to push Roman Reigns as a heel one day. If you people are listening to the podcast right now, you have no idea who I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Authors of Pain, go watch NXT or go on YouTube and look up the Authors of Pain. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about from their attire that they wear. They would go perfect with Roman Reigns. So go check out the Authors of Pain.
We also should mention Jerry the King Lawler was arrested for domestic assault charges. He was actually released. This was in connection with his situation with his, I guess, girlfriend, longtime girlfriend, Lauren McBride, 27. So the King is 66. She's 27. And she is claiming that Lawler struck her in the face. A lot of speculation now is, you know, what does this mean for his WWE future? WWE has a no tolerance policy for domestic abuse. You know, Frankie, we were just talking before we did the show. You saw the pictures. It doesn't look like she was attacked or struck in the face. Quite possibly, maybe the charges will be dropped.
You know, Steve, I'm just going by what I've seen in the pictures. The mug shots for both Lawler and his fiance here, I did not see any bruising whatsoever on her face. She said she was struck in the face by Lawler. I don't see any evidence of that. And both parties were arrested because the officers there cannot, really determine who was the aggressor. So that's usually what happens. And they went to court. And usually when you have a situation, which is a 273-5, violation, you know, in L.A. County, which is domestic violence, the judge usually requires a restraining order be put in place where the two can't have any communication whatsoever. That means no texting. That means no calling. That means no emails, nothing. And if either one of the two parties violates that order, they're going to be arrested on site. And that usually is a felony. I don't know what it is down there in Tennessee, but I know here in, you know, L.A. County, Kern County, that's a felony. That's what they're looking at here. Now, is it the end of Jerry Lawler in WWE? Hell, who knows? I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, speculate that they might, you know, have been wanting to get rid of Lawler for a long time now, and they might have just found a reason to do so. I mean, they just fired, Adam Rose over it. But, you know, I think the situation with Adam Rose is that first he had the wellness violation. Then he went out talking about the company. Then they were like, oh, shit, this guy gets this domestic violence charge. Let's go ahead and get rid of his ass. So who knows? You know, I will say that, you know, Jerry Lawler should probably leave the youngsters alone. I will say that. Because he's getting in nothing but trouble. Look what happened to him with Stacey, you know, the Cat Carter back in the day. And look at him now.
Well, let me say something about Jerry, too. Like I said, for me, Jerry's, you know, great guy, nice guy. I mean, me and him, we joked around, played around a whole lot. I mean, did a lot of good stuff, so... I've never known or I've never even had any suspicion that Jerry would be a person that would strike a woman. I mean, I don't know what somebody would do in their home or in their personal life, but, I mean, you know, I've been around the business for 30-some years, and you would hear things, and I've never heard anybody say that Jerry Lawler struck a woman or put his hand on a woman, or either Jerry Lawler being a violent person. So this is kind of all new to me, and like you say, you guys saw the mug shots, you know, you didn't see any scratches or nothing, and... So I don't know, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But, I mean, he's a great announcer. He's been there for a long time. And like you say, maybe they found a way to maybe get rid of him. Or if not, then you bring Jerry back.
But, you know, I will say this. Now, in Jerry's mugshot, I did notice a scratch on his face, a couple of scratches there. So that kind of goes along with what he was saying that she did to him. I did not see anything as far as her mugshot goes. Nothing as far as she say he hit her in the face, whatever. I don't see none of that in the picture. And I might be wrong, but I'm just, you know, here's the thing. I see this type of shit every day where females will accuse a male of striking them and they're arrested for it. Because in any type of situation where, you know, corporal injury to a spouse is involved or domestic abuse or domestic violence, whatever, the law is always going to side with the woman, even if it's bullshit. You, in a domestic violence situation, when you are a male in this country, you are guilty until proven innocent. And that's pretty much the way it goes. Even if she's the aggressor, doesn't matter. They don't see it that way. So all I can say in this situation is good luck to Jerry Lawler, because he's going to need it.
Yeah, he is claiming that she was intoxicated, grabbed a pistol, threatened to kill herself, scratched his face, threw a candle at him, and then kicked him in the groin. So two different stories. It would appear to me at 1 a.m. in the morning, and you know, my dad used to tell me all the time, nothing good happens after midnight. That, you know, they probably were drinking or doing something else, and it just got accelerated, got out of control, and the cops were called. So I don't know who's in the right, who's in the wrong, but I kind of agree with Frank. Probably the benefit of the doubt is going to go to the girl here. So,
Well, of course it is, because it's going to be like this. You know, first of all, you know, if Jerry does have weapons, I'm pretty sure he's required to turn over his firearms to a shop or something like that until they go back for their next hearing, or whatever that may be. I mean, and we don't know right now if they're charging him with a felony, because they both were charged here. It's just not Jerry Lawler. They both were charged here. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what the situation is going to be, the outcome here. I mean, you know, but like I said before, man, I see a lot of situations here where women lie. You know, women can be vindictive, malicious. They can do a lot of shit to guys and get guys caught up on bullshit. You know, I see it every day. And this situation could be no different. You know, it could be she, you know, knows who Jerry the King Lawler is. She, of course she knows who he is. She's, you know, his fiance. She knows how much money she can get out of the situation. So pretty much she could be like, you know, this all can go away if he pays me. You know, but the problem with that is that, you know, now you've got the law involved, and, you know, the state prosecutor can pick up charges here. And, you know, obviously they're going to move forward here with some type of a hearing, because they, you know, they got him coming back to court. I mean, you know, they were both detained and arrested on corporal, you know, injury to a spouse. So, I don't know. I mean, this could end up being a situation where it could be some jail time involved here as well with this situation. It really depends on how they want to go with it.
Let me ask you this, guys. Certainly Jerry's status is up in the air, but do you foresee them, we'll start with Teddy here, do you see them possibly with the draft coming up, shaking up the announced crews? Certainly this could have an impact on his future, and they could also, you know, maybe bring up Corey Graves to be on SmackDown. Or do you think there's a possibility, Teddy, that maybe they switch up the crews here? Maybe they switch Michael Cole over to SmackDown. Do you think that's a possibility here, just to, you know, change the flavor of the show?
Well, yeah, everything's a possibility, you know, with the WWE. But I'm thinking, you know, Michael Cole is their guy. You know what I mean? I don't see them really basically taking him off of Raw and putting him on SmackDown full time, because I mean he's a great commentator. He does a great job, and I think, you know, he'd be more valuable to him on Raw than SmackDown. But then again, you got SmackDown going live now, and Michael Cole could be a big help. He could move to the SmackDown brand, and you know that would cause some people to, you know, to follow him. So I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, with Michael Cole, I feel that any position that you put him in, he can do the job. But for, you know, them, I don't know what happened with Lawler. I think we would have to wait on, like Frank said, we got to wait until this thing is settled in court to see whether Lawler is convicted or whether he's found innocent or not. I don't think they're going to do anything with him until these charges are dropped.
What do you think, Frank? Do you think they might shake up the commentating crew a little bit here?
I think it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you got Corey Graves down there at NXT. I think you might move Corey Graves up to SmackDown and let him fill in for Lawler. And let's see what he can do with the main roster shows until they figure out what they're going to do with Jerry Lawler. But, you know, I think ultimately what's going to happen with Lawler is that they're going to give him, you know, a retirement, kind of like what they did with JR.
Kind of a forced retirement, but we'll just say it's a retirement.
Exactly. We don't want you to work anymore, but we're going to let you go out, you know, on your own here, and you are retired.
Get the Legends deal, get the Ambassador deal. You'll pop up at the Access at the WrestleMania, but we don't want you on a weekly basis anymore.
No, because, I mean, Jerry Lawler, really, when you think about it, he really adds nothing to the show. I mean, Jerry Lawler is pretty much at this point just picking up a paycheck, and I can't say that I blame him.
You know, Teddy, I kind of agree. I don't think Lawler's been funny in about the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, well, like I said, he's the same Jerry Lawler on every show. He has these, you know, corny jokes that he tells. Some of them are funny and some of them are not. But he's just Jerry Lawler. He's the king, and he's been there a long time, too.
We have poll results. Now, this is very interesting because I know I saw Teddy retweet, I think this was a WWE poll, on who should be the SmackDown general manager. Teddy got 33%. Kurt Angle, 22%. Vicky Guerrero, 6%. And John Laurinaitis, 2%. But on the Gerwick.net poll, we asked, should Teddy Long return as SmackDown general manager? And it was the opposite, where no got 55%, yes got 45%. Frank, are you a little surprised? Maybe Gerwick.net voters voted no. Is it maybe a reflection of how he's portrayed on television?
No, I'm not surprised at all about that. No. I just really think that they feel at this point that Teddy just doesn't fit in with the new era. And it very well could be the way he was portrayed on Raw. I think that's, that could be the case. Or, being honest about it here, because that's what we do, here on the podcast, people just don't like Teddy Long.
People don't like Teddy Long.
That could be what it is. That could be what it is. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they let you know that by the votes. That's what you got to go by. You know, whatever the votes say, it is what it is. And then, in this business here, and then not only this, just in the world naturally, everybody ain't going to like you. It's just that simple. I don't care what you do. You could do one of the best jobs in the world. Somebody ain't going to like you. So that all comes with the territory.
Always follow my main man, Teddy Long, at Teddy Playa Long on Twitter and TeddyLong.com. And what else do you have coming up there, Playa?
Well, basically, this month, I'm kind of taking it easy. I've been working with the website, with my website team. We're trying to get together the book so we can get ready for the book to come out maybe by the first of the year. And other than that, next Monday, I'm doing something with NWA legend Rocky King. We're giving him a fundraiser to try and help him get a kidney. And I'll be there, like I said, along with, there's a lot of, John Rocker from the Atlanta Braves, Otis Nixon, Jeff Boxworth is really playing a great big part in this. And so we're going to try to raise some money to help Rocky King get a kidney.
Awesome. So definitely check out Teddy and his schedule there. He always posted it at teddylong.com. And also subscribe to his YouTube channel. I believe he's got a YouTube channel that will be pumping some videos out in the very near future. And also, Frank, encourage everybody out there to check out our YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, definitely. Check out youtube.com/GerwickNet. That's the URL. Check it out today. Go on there and, subscribe to our channel and like our videos. We definitely appreciate all the support that we can get, and we're getting a lot of it, Steve.
Absolutely. Always appreciate your support. Definitely check out prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. And we thank you once again for your support of the Gerwick Report podcast. Breaking news here on the Gerwick Report podcast. As we conclude episode 136, breaking news all over the wrestling world and at Gerwick.net. Roman Reigns, the former WWE champion, has been suspended for 30 days. This largely will explain what happened to Roman on Sunday night with the title switch, putting the championship ultimately on Dean Ambrose. And what this could mean moving forward will be very interesting, as he's been booked in a three-way match with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the upcoming Battleground pay-per-view on July 24th. Frank, what is the statement and what is going on with Roman Reigns?
Pretty much, the statement reads that WWE has suspended Roman Reigns for 30 days effective immediately for his first violation of the company's talent wellness policy. Roman Reigns issued a statement saying, basically, I apologize to my family, friends, and fans for my mistake in violating WWE's wellness policy. No excuses. I own it. I'm shocked here, see, because, we had just gotten done doing the episode with Teddy Long, and then all of a sudden, this is a breaking news story right now all over the internet. It's crazy just because he is booked for Battleground, and I'm assuming now that they're going to have to pull him from that match.
I can't imagine, Frank, that you would get a 30-day wellness policy violation and still be allowed to wrestle at the next pay-per-view in the main event. I don't see it. Although, timing-wise, he could be available for July 24th, but I definitely suspect that they will take him out of the match and it will be a straight-up Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship at Battleground. Now, we speculated on the podcast itself, Frank, that we really believed part of the major reasons taking the title off Roman Reigns at this point would be tied to the ratings. We saw a decline in viewership for both Raw and SmackDown, as well as attendance was down for live events for WWE. Obviously, he's the main attraction on live events. Although, Frank, it's odd with the timing because Monday happened, Raw. They do the angle to set up the three-way at the pay-per-view, and then the next day, he's now suspended. Either way, Frank, I really can't imagine that he would be allowed to wrestle July 24th at Battleground.
Well, you know, it's very interesting to me, see, that they took the belt off of Roman on Sunday. They booked the triple threat match on Monday. Tuesday, they announced that he has been suspended for 30 days. So I guess the question really is, when did WWE know about Roman's testing dirty, for whatever it was? I mean, did they know Sunday? Because if they knew Sunday, why the hell would they book a match on Monday for next month's pay-per-view? I don't get the logic in doing that at all. But I think if they were to let him wrestle at Battleground in that match, it sets a bad precedence that if you violate our wellness policy, it doesn't really matter. You're still going to come back and still be a part of the championship match. It's kind of like the old Randy Orton rule, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very strange, the timing. The only thing I can say, Frank, would be you have your pay-per-view on Sunday. You had Monday Night Raw last night in Phoenix. And wherever they are tonight for SmackDown, you assume they had a random drug test. And whatever he violated. And it's breaking news now on WWE.com. The graphic on the website, the WWE's website, still includes a three-way for the Battleground pay-per-view. But you have to think that's going to change. And it would seem to me, Frank, this all happened today, Tuesday, to have the ramifications of Roman Reigns is suspended and will disappear for 30 days.
Yeah, and you pretty much know that he is going to have some heat on him because WWE is looking real big on this Battleground show. This is going to be the match that they wanted to pull off, the triple threat match between all three members of the Shield, and now Roman Reigns has tested dirty for whatever he has in his system, and now they cannot do this match. It's going to be strictly Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, a match that we've seen a million times already. This is going to hurt WWE big time, and I'm pretty sure when Roman has some heat on him for this one.
I think the real question here too, Frank, is did they know about this ahead of time? Although you wouldn't think so with them already announcing the three-way on Monday night's Raw. Because as we speculate again on the GRP 136 here, I really thought his demotion from WWE Championship, being the champion itself, was related to declining ratings, viewership, a lack of people going to live events. The attendance had definitely dropped off. But now it makes you wonder if maybe they speculated something was up with Roman, or was it they just had lost faith in Roman? And then, of course, now moving forward, does this put a big strike not only on his record for the wellness policy, does this put a big strike against him moving forward with the company?
Oh, I think it does. I think that it kind of proves here that maybe he can't be trusted with that main event spot. I mean, how many wellness policy violations have you heard of with John Cena? Zero. So he was supposed to be in that role with John Cena. He was supposed to be the face of the company. You know, it's unfortunate this happened, but Roman Reigns made the decision to do whatever he did, and now he has to pay for it. And not only will he pay for it, but, you know, his fans are going to pay for it because they won't see him for 3 days. And I think if you're a Roman Reigns hater out there, this is pretty much good news. But it's not good news for WWE because they were really building towards that triple threat match at Battleground. So
I guess the only solace would be, Frank, is the July pay-per-view Battleground is basically the throwaway show between the June pay-per-view and the August pay-per-view. He still could be back for SummerSlam, as obviously the July pay-per-view is just a throwaway show. They're going to put all their eggs into the batch of SummerSlam. It's going to be a big show. They're probably going to go extra long with SummerSlam as they did with WrestleMania this year. So if there's any good news from WWE's standpoint is that it's the July pay-per-view, it's not the SummerSlam pay-per-view. But again, I really wonder now, does WWE have confidence to push him again to say, well, you know, last time we pushed him to the moon. He got the championship, and ultimately he got suspended.
Well, you remember, Steve, you know, years ago, they were giving William Regal that big, big push. They gave him the King of the Ring, and you thought that he was going to be Royal Champion, and then he got a wellness policy violation, and his push went nowhere. It was done. He never got pushed back to that same level. I'm not saying that that's going to happen here with Roman Reigns, but it's going to be a big question mark, you know, if he can come back from this. And I will tell you this, too. You know, he's suspended now, effective today, the 21st of June. That means that he's going to miss the SmackDown live special, which is going to, you know, have the draft. So he's going to miss that. He's not going to be a part of that either. So he's really hurting WWE here, and they created plans what they were going
to
do with him.
Yeah, he'll be a part of the draft. He just won't be there to be drafted.
I would think him being suspended would make him inactive for the draft.
You know, that's true, because he is 30 days suspended. So could that mean ultimately that he'll just stay on the Raw roster?
Who knows? I don't know. I mean, they could bring him back, and they could have some type of situation where people are fighting for Roman services on this brand or that brand. I don't know.
Well, as this story develops, definitely keep checking Gerwick.net for all the late-breaking news. And I know Frank will also keep the YouTube channel updated as well.
Absolutely. YouTube.com/GerwickNet is a place to go. And that's pretty much all we have to say about the matter.